Hey there, friends and family of Werder Bremen. Welcome to the live Werder Bremen post-game show. It remains chaos. This is, of course, the show by the fans, for the fans. And if you are new to the show, we host this show every Sunday after the league matches are over on the Podbean app. And if you get the app, you can join us when we go live and jump into the chat. So right now, we've got Spivey's with us. Salty is here. It's good to see you again. Glory Hole is here. Thank goodness for that. King Ian is with us and at Sooner. But always, we have Christian jumping on the call with us today. Christian, what it do?
What it motherfucking do? What is good?
You picked the right day to just squeak in after the intro music was done because it was Doobie Brothers.
Fuck, really? Are you kidding me? No, oh, you got to be kidding me. What a fool believes.
Yeah.
Ah, God damn, I love the Doobies. Yes.
Hey, just for you.
Woo! Michael motherfucking McDonald. There we go. That is bright in my mood.
Well, the reason, I mean, that it's kind of twofold why I wanted to play that one. I had some really awesome thrashy heavy metal because I've been getting into that again in the last, oh, I don't know, 12-14 years of fandom, and but I figured, you know, this one's nice. It's kind of an upbeat, it's catchy, makes you smile, and it has a double point that it really is. Mm-hmm. This week has proven that what a fool believes he sees, no wise man has the power to reason away.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Heck yeah. Well, so you obviously so you can join us when we go live again every Sunday 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If that's not your style, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. Christian is at SVWOMYTFC, myself at Not Easy Green, and you are welcome to follow the Werder North America fan group on Twitter at NA Werder. And if you got larger bits of mail, you're welcome to send that to noteasygreen2017@gmail.com. As always, everything that we're doing, you can find on the Linktree. So just go to Linktree/VerderNA, linktr.ee/VerderNA, and lots of stuff going on there. So Sooner does a blog every week, which is great. There's also access to the Instagram channel there, as well as links to the Discord. And again, for those of you that want to, or you're not quite sure about joining the Discord, you can't keep up on the Discord. Truly, the Discord is probably an easier way to keep track of things like transfer rumors and whatnot. I used to have to like dig around for stuff. There are so many people in the transfer thread constantly throwing in, you know, what are the latest rumors? We've got guys like Michael that are connected with a couple of people from
Le Chef too.
Yeah, right. And so it really helps either substantiate some of those things or give us a little bit of insight to what's going on at the club. It's great. So again, if you're not totally into, you know, chit-chatting and everything else, you can always join the Discord and just kind of ghost and read up on stuff. It's always nice. But Christian, how was the weekend?
It was pretty laid back. So last week, I'm sure, well, I think all of us thought I was just hungover. Well, you're partially correct. I also had COVID.
It's so a pretty easy bet.
yeah, fuck. Well, not this week, my friend. I've actually been just sort of recuperated and then finally had a normal day today. For the first time in about a week, managed to get some exercise out in the sun. Was actually, once again, trying to make a pizza. And then I realized that it was 4 o'clock, which is why I was like a minute late logging in.
Sunday's pizza day or what?
I don't know, man. I've really been on like a run of making pizzas. Been trying to like figure out, I don't know, I would like everybody else fucking love pizza. But like, I don't know. I guess Sunday is apparently pizza day. It's definitely like Italian food day for me in my mind. I don't know why. I guess it's just comfort food before we start the daily grind. Whatever again.
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
It helps make the pain go away. All right. We'll also say hello to Dustin and Paul who have joined us live here today. Anyway, thanks everybody for sticking with us. We are going to have a little bit of a different format today. We are very, very briefly going to talk about the game, but mostly we want to chat about what's been going on at Werder over this last week, because my gosh, some shite hath hit the fan over this last week. Not a lot of in-depth stuff on the game. I got a couple of points that I wanted to make. Christian, you can jump on the back of those if you want to.
Sure.
So the first thing I thought that was really awesome was that the guy doing the play calling called Schmied a Scrappy Doo. That's
that's fair.
Freaking wonderful.
I'll take it.
I don't know if that was supposed to be a play on Scooby-Doo or what it was. I think it was one of those things that came out of his mouth and he didn't realize how dumb it sounded until he heard it through his own ear.
Amazing. Well, that leads me to wonder who's Scooby and then who's Shaggy. You know, more importantly, who's Velma? Wah wah wee wah.
I don't know.
And no, it's like, can we have somebody dress up in the locker room? Ian says Mitch was Velma. We're starting to delve into that weird cartoon pornography thing that we seem to do on a regular basis here.
Well, so that was the first thing that I thought was really cool or awesome about the game. Honestly, though, Friedel was a total boss. Visor, I thought, showed some good stuff during the game. Veljkovic bagged a goal. I mean, these are all things that were good. When Friedel plays at this level, and even some of his comments again after the game shows that he is really trying to push. To get either the locker room is completely apathetic, or he senses the coaching and management is really apathetic, or all of them are. For whatever reason, he has decided to take that mantle upon himself and really start pushing, which I'm happy to see. I am.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know what? It's interesting, too, because I don't know if it was just this preseason, but definitely last preseason when we were questioning why Friedel had been picked as captain of the team. You know, we were like, you know, Luca, a lot of other guys that we would have picked over him. But I guess it's something that we don't see, but we're seeing now. And I think to piggyback off that is it is interesting that he is dissatisfied with what a lot of people, a lot of supporters, and what our front office is, I guess, their goals for the season.
Sure.
Which is stay up. Fucking, I get it last season when we first came up, but come on, shouldn't progress be the name of the game? Whatever that looks like. You know, obviously you want to you make lofty goals, but then, you know, you make secondarily realistic goals, which I'm sure we'll hear from somebody at the end of the season. Well, we managed to achieve our goals this season, which were the following and, you know, all these like low hanging fruit benchmarks. But I find it interesting that once again, worst litmus test is always Twitter and Instagram, social media as a whole. But I see that very few people have sort of picked up on this, saying, you know, why is this, you know, why is he calling this out? Well, you know, what is happening?
He's been captaining for a long time. This is the first time he's done something like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to go on two successive weeks in a row, calling the team out, calling them to something better.
Mm-hmm.
he's never done that before. Like, I don't necessarily think he's a great captain, or at least to this point hasn't proved that he is one. But what we're seeing now, you're right. People should look at this and say, okay, why is this happening now?
Yeah.
Why is
what's happening behind the scene that we're not seeing?
Yeah, and even if I, you know, if I look at just, I think it was a bit of a summation, sorry, of what he had said this week was like, if we're not going to go somewhere, if we're not shooting for more, I'm out of here. Like, it was about that blunt that, you know, he demands that they pick goals, something that's, you know, worth playing for. So, I think it's great. Hopefully it's enough. To kind of right the ship for the last few games of the season.
Fingers crossed, or even, I mean, I'm going to go even lower than that.
Would you please? Because usually we're a little too positive.
I'm hoping this calls people's attention and says, you know, why is he upset? What are we not seeing? What is the common theme here? You know, basically start to question what's going on in the front office and with our coach.
Well, I guess that's what I'm hoping for, but we'll find out if Fritz smacks his wrist at some point in time here for it.
But being a captain.
Right now, it's all can just be tied to being very inspirational. I also wanted to point out that Agu finished the game with 7 tackles. You just stepped into your walk-in freezer there. Agu finished.
No, it's streetcar driving by.
He had 7 tackles on the game. Both he and Visor did a good job of closing down crosses. Frankfurt took 34 crosses this game and only 10 of them made it through, so I thought they did a good job. Not sure if you've got anything to say on that.
No, in that sense, I mean, you know what, I probably would have been if you had asked me, I guess at some point in the season, if I had been content with a draw against Frankfurt away, I probably would have been ecstatic with it. I was pretty hard, and we'll get into this, but it was pretty hard to muster any sort of enthusiasm about anything about this club yesterday during the game.
And yes, Ivy, I can confirm that those are the first 7 tackles of Agu's fledgling career with Werder. Okay, so another thing I thought was Werder were winning the ball well in the midfield, I felt. And on occasion, they were able to turn it around for a bit of a counter opportunity. Of course, we have to say far too often, as has been the case all season, that last ball, that final ball was missing. And part of the things that I thought were kind of sucky, and this leads into it naturally, that the pairing of Dukes and Schmid was not good.
The fuck was that?
I don't know if that was spite. I don't know if that was too smart by half. I don't know what that was, but it was bad.
Both those things. I mean, we've known for, 7 weeks? Is this 8 weeks now? That Dukes, I mean, okay, whatever. We'll give him, you know what, we'll give him 2 weeks after the last goal to sort of prove himself. But then there's been another 6 weeks after that in which he's done nothing and continued to play. Schmid, I guess I kind of understand why this experiment of him playing up front has come up. But that's also something you do at the start of the season or during friendlies, not at the tail end of the season when we're trying to collect as many fucking points as possible. You know what I mean? I think to a certain extent, Ole's pissed with Voltamata. We also know that Voltamata and Dukes don't play well together, but God forbid Dukes not start. Why would you not start him? He's been absolutely brilliant the last couple of weeks, you know, a greatest player this team has ever seen. I think there's a bit of spite there, a bit of, you know, Werner gonna Werner.
Yeah. Well, I can confirm that right now in the last 8 games, both Dukes and Veljkovic had the same number of goals. All right. The team I felt played with courage and determination, which is something that I don't think we've seen, like that level of commitment and fight throughout the entire team for a while. We'd have to go back to games like against Bayern, games against Freiburg, to see a team that was really, as a whole, fighting for an outcome. And this team, it looked that they were. So again, you have to wonder again, as just watching as a fan, you know, why the difference today would be the question that I would ask. But again, I felt that it was good. It was good that the team looked like they were up for the game. They looked like they were ready to play. They were committed in the tackle. Stea a little too committed at one point in time. I felt that
committed was good. To the bone. If you really want to play.
And I guess we should say that Stea's red card along with Friedel's yellow card suspension, boy, that turns next week's match into really like an all-out weekend at Bernie's, where Werder is going to be like this corpse that they're dragging around trying to pretend it's alive. That's going to be quite the back line.
Gifting Leverkusen a title.
Yeah. You watch, we'll be blamed that we gave it to them, you know.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Not like they've been fucking incredible all season and we're just in the midst of one of our many quagmires, but you know, we've handed it to them. It's thoughtful of us.
All right. So this is when we did talk about a change in how we're going to run things here. So there's a number of topics that we want to get to. Plus, we got a few questions that came in, would you rathers and whatnot. We want to get to those as well. So we're going to walk through a transfer market interview with Johannes Jans, which I think is really important and timely, given the what has happened over the last little while. Then we also, of course, want to dig into the topic of Voltomada and Adinchi leaving Werder this summer. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up. I've got a little bit more of Werder history, and you'll always get your daily dose or your weekly dose of Sooner and his professional financial advice.
I was going to say Sooner and a skin flute, but I like financial advice better.
I think you have to pay for the second option there. There's a paywall.
Sooner Saturdays on my OnlyFans.
Sooner Skinfleet Saturday. All right.
That's right. Let's platinum tier.
Okay, let's dive into this. So during, I can't even remember, I think this was international, like a couple international weeks ago. It was after, maybe not, but it was when Werder were on their amazing win streak, quote unquote. And it was so interesting that week, by the way, just the amount of interviews that Werder personnel got. Because the team had beat Bayern, then they went on to beat Freiburg, you know, and things were really starting, and they were just, like as I've said before, tickling the bum of Europe. And all of a sudden, everybody couldn't figure out what amazing, you know, magic stuff juice took. What was the stuff called on Space Jam? Secret stuff. What kind of secret stuff Ole had put into the water bottles there? Wink, wink. But anyway, there was all these interviews that got done. I think Werner got interviewed twice that week. Johannes Jans got interviewed. So it was good. It was really good to get some of that information out and to read about it. So it makes me pretty excited, you know, because over the last number of years, the Werner brand has well slipped. And it's been really tough. You don't get these types of interviews on the regular. So it was nice to see. So there was a number of areas that the questioner went into with Jans, and I wanted to highlight a few of them. And then of course we're going to get Christian's feedback on it as well. So the first thing that I read when I read through this, Jans places a premium on developing good working relationships with a global network. So his quote was, "The people who work with me should want to work with me a second time. In football, you always meet at least twice. As a club, you can be ambitious and aggressive, but you should always remain fair." And I like that quote a lot. Jans, that he kind of dissected about how the responsibilities were run for the transfers this year. So again, we're probably going to see a little bit of a change here going forward, but for this year, this is how it was. So the quote was that the division of work was such that I was responsible for scouting, transfers, negotiations, and recruitment, and Clemens was the first point of contact for professional football and all aspects of the team. And in the end, Frank made the decisions, always thinking in a team-oriented manner, and everything was based on good communication. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that kind of gives you, for those that are listening, it gives you a bit of an idea of how the job responsibilities were split during the last two transfer windows.
Sure. I mean, there's no particular big surprise there. We expect Frank to just sort of cross the T's and dot the I's. That's why I was never, I mean, there might have been a time when he was making the signings or scouting the signings, but I don't understand how he gets the credit that he does. But I guess it's, once again, a lack of understanding of the intricacies of football. He's kind of like the face of the organization, as it were. So once again, it's the same thing with Clemens Fritz. Like, we know that he was scouting and that the scouting was shit when he was scouting. And then there was a distinct difference when Jans started scouting and signing players. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Same thing, and this is, I mean, I guess we'll get into this. I would imagine that Niemeyer will come up today at some point in time. But it's going to be...
I was going to say, in the very next quote, it'll come up.
Oh, there we go. It's going to be curious to see how these things will differentiate once Fritz is official, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think what we can pull from this, though, is that Jans views his job, or his job has been, providing the options, and Fritz and Baumann are the ones pulling the trigger, I think. Sure. is probably
how. Yeah, he's the point man. He's the one who sort of, like, connects people. He's the plug. And I like that Jans also has that mentality of he wants to make sure that everybody's satisfied. You know what I mean? It's not a matter of we're trying to fuck everybody out of everything. We're trying to put them past, because you do want to do repeat business with these people. Right. What may not have worked the first time may work the second time. Like, they may have somebody that's even better than the first time. You know what I mean? And you want to keep all your doors open all the time. You know, it's rather than it being, it's a word I'm looking for, like a greedy situation where it's me, me, my, my, you know, you are obviously, pardon?
You're just a taker, right?
Yeah, exactly. In this case, it's probably a give and take. You know what I mean? And you maintain those positive relationships. And the more people like you, it's funny. Like, people want a good hang. You know what I mean? Like, if you are amicable and charming, people will do a lot for you. You know, you'll get a shit ton of stuff for free. People are always going to contact. What the
problem is.
Yeah. Oh, believe you me, my friend, that's not, it doesn't just stop there.
Yeah, you got way more problems than just being asshole.
That's right. I would put that at the bottom of the list.
we'll get to that later. Well, we'll dig into it. Jans also stated, of course, that he isn't interested in filling the vacancy left by Fritz, that his role, he believes, is as a squad planner. And he says, in this role, I'm very busy and I believe I can help the club the most. And what I really like about this is somebody that understands what they're good at, and they're not looking to necessarily just jump to the next natural rung on the ladder, but that they rather want to slot in where they're talented, where they're skilled, and then excel in that position. That is unique.
Get in where you fit in.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And also, like, I mean, he knows. There you go. If you got to squeeze in, or I guess have a lot of room around you, that's your own business. But yeah. And I mean, it also allows for him to excel because he knows what his strengths and weaknesses are and what his limitations at his position are, right? So it gives him the structure to work within that, and there's kind of no questions. And ideally, everybody else is playing their own fucking position as well. You know, obviously Fritz at the end of the day is going to now have the say, but Jans doesn't really have to worry about Niemeyer or Ole Werner, you know, ideally, because we don't fucking know, and sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but everybody's sort of, you know, respecting everybody else's boundaries and whatnot.
Yeah, so on that, I don't know, I didn't do any research into Niemeyer, understanding, you know, what he's good at, where he's taken his clubs or whatever the case might be. I don't know if you wanted to talk about that. I've got nothing to contribute on that front. I just haven't done the research.
Yeah, no, I've done minimal research on that too, admittedly. I know him as a player. I remember him in the mid-2000s. I was pretty decent player at that, which also made me like particularly skeptical about his signing, because as we know, you know, it's the Werder family way. Sign the name, not the actual capabilities, which I'm not crazy about. That being said, I think I'm trying to think, maybe it was Salty. Somebody brought it up in the brought it up in the Discord there.
Another reason
I initially honestly though, Christian and
I we're lazy. Like honestly, we are wildly lazy. And the reason we came up with the Discord was so that we could do even less. And people have completely bitten that poison apple, and we've got people doing work for us. Like
absolutely,
business. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, if I could start to move that into my personal life, it would be wonderful. But right now, we'll sort of stick with the fucking podcast.
You'll be hiring an assistant, like Kramer had an assistant for Kramerica or whatever.
That's right. Christian Industries. actually be more likely a cult. But anyways, from my understanding of things, I was under the impression that Niemeyer had been there for a year, but actually had been there for like three or four, including a promotion and what looks like another promotion. Here's the thing is I'm not knowledgeable what the day-to-day work there looks like. And I don't know what sort of other things were happening at the time. We'll just say on its face value, it looks like a positive signing. So if we were to ignore the name, but just look at the resume, which is how I would fucking do things if I was running a team. Anyways, it looks as if from what little we understand, like a smart signing. Now,
I thought Sooner brought up a good point in that who's the major benefactor here? That it wasn't like when Jans came, he came with a lot of pedigree, a lot of history, a lot of evidence behind what he can do. And for Werder, that was an amazing coup. The organization tremendously benefited from that signing. When we look at Niemeyer, who's benefiting here? Like, is the club doing someone a favor? Is this the best we can attract? Do we have a list of prerequisites when it comes to Werder family that are required? And this is literally the best we could come up with. And we're hoping, you know, maybe he fits the budget the best. And we're just hoping he kind of works his way into working at a higher level. Right? It's those types of things that I thought was a really good point that Sooner put out there.
Go ahead.
I'd say we obviously don't really answer, but I thought it was an interesting take.
And he's not wrong, but it's also tough too, because we don't know what their fucking job is. You know what I mean? Like, we really don't know what the fuck they do day to day. So it's in order. We also don't know what his skill set is. All we kind of know is that he's looking to take over Fritz's job, and he had a similar job at Munster and looks as if he was successful there. So yeah, that's kind of it, right?
All right, we'll move on in the interview here. So Jans kind of laid out the general plan going forward for Werder transfers, so this will be of interest to those that want to know where we're going. So the quote was, "When it comes to transfers, we want to convince young players who can take the next steps here, be it in the youth, the U23s, or directly into the Bundesliga, and become really good Bundesliga players."
I believe that's what Jans wants to do. I believe that's what Jans has done in the past. As for the rest of our front office, I don't know. I don't think so. Doesn't look like it this week. What I mean?
Well, again, you know, this is the guy that finds the players. And not to mention, I mean, we'll get into it, but what we're looking at this last week is a symptom of an ongoing process, not a new direction. Yeah. All right. So the next thing, also how proactive he wants to be with free transfers. The quote was, "You have to be early to get the best possible chance. We pay particular attention to this." And that was the case with Gruel. So that was, you know, it was really nice to see Gruel get signed early on for a free transfer this year. And then this one I thought was really good. His reaction to Gruel participating in the homophobic chants with supporters, I think it helped me understand his position, which is a good thing. Because honestly, Christian, I was starting to wonder that if it was, I was starting to wonder if, how do I put this? Gruel was the second example of a player that we brought in who was showing less than their best foot forward, let's say, when it comes to matters of social equity and whatnot. And I started wondering if this is something that Jans doesn't care about, if this is something that he wasn't even looking at, because that was like two in a row that close together. Was starting to get a little bit, I was thinking maybe Jans needs to do a little bit of more homework on some of these guys or care about this a little bit more. But this was the quote when he was asked about Gruel participating in the homophobic chants. So the quote was, "That was a big mistake on his part, and I didn't like it at all. You just have to say that. Behavior that is in no way compatible with our values," end quote.
Sure. I'll be honest, like, who knows? And anybody looking to fucking athletes to be role models is, it's unfortunate because inevitably they are role models, but I never look to athletes for any sort of political opinion. If, right. And I'm not no politics in sports guy. I'm not one of those guys. But I also know that a lot of these dudes are just, yeah. A lot of people have shitty politics and they're not athletes. So I kind of expect athletes to be similar. Unfortunately they're given a bigger stage to appoose these shitty politics. I don't know like how much
bunch of people chanting homophobic it's a bad look.
It's a bad look, but also like he didn't know that shit was going to happen, right?
No, obviously. And that's why I said the quote was great because, again, the second player to have that kind of, I think, last one from, it was from the RB Leipzig Academy who had
little Nazi.
Racist stuff, right? And it was like, okay, Jans, is this like a thing?
No wonder he's able to get them. Nobody else is in line.
We got him for free, guys.
He's going to bust a Hitler in his house, but don't worry about it.
Lesson, Fritz, as he's sucking back on a pack of marbles. I got a great deal on a little Nazi coming up.
If you haven't seen American History X,
we're gonna he's get reformed hair so it's not quite so suspicious.
He wears a suit instead of suspenders. You never know.
All right, so on the challenge of both the transfer windows this year, he was asked about that, and Jans had said, quote, "For me, the additional problem was that I only joined at the beginning of the transfer phase and certain processes couldn't be in place. The winter was very intense because a lot happened again," end quote. And I think that probably lends itself to the fact that he said, "I only joined at the beginning of the transfer phase and certain processes couldn't be in place," leads me to believe that he showed up and there were no processes in place.
And considering who was running the show beforehand, I will second that.
Like, why would you say that if you didn't have to come in there and build the thing from the ground up?
Yeah, absolutely. For real. No, 100%. Because before it used to be like go on Transfer Market or Football Manager and sort of see whose contracts are ending. So then those are the guys we're going to make offers to.
Right. They might as well hire any of us. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, seriously. I'll do that. Yeah. I'll do that for 100,000 euros a year. No problem.
You might have hired an assistant for that.
Yeah, that's right. Sinston, Gimp, whichever.
All right, so we are going to move on to the hot topic of the day, the Volpinata and Inchi stuff. So
why, what happened there?
Oh, stick with it.
ESPN Plus Originals, the exclusive home of the complete 30 for 30 library.
Yes, at this point in time, we're just trying to get sued.
Come at me, bro.
All right. So Werder fans were given a damn good thrashing this last week when news dropped on subsequent days that two of its promising young talents would be furthering their careers somewhere else. The first was news that Voltemad would be leaving to join Stuttgart for free in the summer. Reports said that he didn't even wait for Werder's counteroffer, which I believe at that point in time would have been the third offer, and rather just informed Werner and Fritz of his decision and then made the announcement himself on social media. The next day, news dropped that Dinchy would also be looking to move on and would be playing in Freiburg next season. Freiburg exercised the release clause in Dinchy's contract, and Werder will receive $5 million for the explosive winger. The fan base became heavily divided over the topic, which has become more frequent lately. More and more often, we're seeing these topics creating separations in the fan base and those on either side becoming more entrenched. Which honestly is why I will say from the get-go, this podcast has been vocal and critical of both Werder management and the coaching staff over the last number of years. We call it like we see it. Right. You may not agree, and that's fine. And this may also not be the show for you. I don't care. What I can guarantee is that both Christian and I are as thrilled about the single point yesterday as those who think Baumann can do no wrong and Fritz shits gold bars. I like it when the team does well, and I say so. I have absolutely no problem celebrating the success of the club while simultaneously criticizing where it deserves to be criticized. Both expressions come from a deep desire to see the club succeed. Now, Christian, I mean, I don't know where you want to start. I mean, the primary issue that I have with these two departures is that both of these young talents leave with some sort of track record of a disgruntled relationship with Werder management, whether it's Werner, Fritz, Baumann, or all three. And yeah, there's money. Yeah, there's Europe. But both of these talents grew up with Werder, went through our academy, and now one has left for exactly $0, and the other has left severely undervalued and completely unutilized. And for those that mock us, you know, about being PlayStation managers, you know, or how we get all emotional over nothing. I'd ask you just to sit tight and try and listen for a little bit, like follow the bouncing ball. The departure of Dinchy and Voltemada is not exceptional. Oh, you're going to get into a fight there, Christian? Throw down.
Nah, that's just neighbors out there.
So the departure of Dinchy and Voltemada is not exceptional, and that's the fucking problem. Dinchy and Voltemad leaving is just another danger sign this club passes as it cruises down the highway of poor player management and poor asset management. I'm not pissed because they left. I'm pissed because we knew they were going to leave because we've watched others leave. We've watched how this gets managed. I'm pissed because nothing has substantially changed in how Werder deals with its youth prospects. I'm pissed because this winter was an opportunity for a critical shift away from this route, and it wasn't taken. And Voltemad and Dinchy leaving further reinforces that nothing has changed. Sorry, Christian, I'm done my little rant for a second. I'll let you go off on this if you want to, depending on where you want to start on.
I probably should have jumped in a bit earlier. I'm with you. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people assume that our criticism comes from some sort of place where it's like, we don't care about this team. It's quite the opposite. In the words of Faith No More, we care a lot. I've been following this motherfucking team for, God, we're in 2024.
It's a dirty job, but
someone's gotta do it. Exactly. And that's literally what it feels like. Sometimes it feels like we're fucking janitors because we're just walking through the muck, you know? I mean, everybody else is fucking sunshine and roses. Wow, we got a point. We're staying up this year. You know what? We're not looking at the ugly. We got to overturn these logs and see what kind of nasty little fucking critters are underneath. Kaita's muck. Honestly, and it's so frustrating. What I don't understand is like people that are optimistic about these kids leaving. Like we literally months ago got a $40 million injection with the intention of developing youth. And now two kids, well, I guess, or whatever men
In the eyes, you know what? In the eyes of Ole Werner, they're still rookies. They're still children. And they are leaving voluntarily. These are guys who grew up in the city, fucking love the team, youth players, and they're leaving. That's it. And it's not, and I'm willing to bet if you gave them even the prospect of playing regularly on a team, that it wouldn't even matter. Like, I'm not saying that we need to be challenging for fucking Champions League. I'm talking about fucking like potentially playing in Europe or getting regular time. Like, Dinkshi all of a sudden exploded out of nowhere because he was playing 30 goddamn games a season. His worth went from being, well, people are like, well, how are we supposed to know? Well, that's the thing with developing youth. You don't fucking know. And that's the intention is like saying, like,
find out.
Exactly. What is the fucking point otherwise? You know, and nobody's pointing the fingers at anybody. I do not understand. Whoa, we got 5 million now. That's more than we had before. Guess what? And we could have had 10. And if we held on to him even longer, it could have been 15 or 20, depending on what he's like. But we're never going to find out. Somebody else is going to find out now because he's fucking left us for free. You know, it's mind boggling.
Jumping on that, this, that line where, you know, somebody will say, you know, Werder fans would have shipped off Dinkshi so fast if they had been offered 5 million for him at the start of the season. And yes, we would have. So now, please show me the lineup of people that were willing to pay 5 million for him at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
It's almost, I'll talk real slow for the kids at the back, but it's almost as if people didn't know what he was capable of until he got some serious playing time and backing by a coach.
Like, yeah.
Release clause.
Fancy that.
The release clause honestly isn't the issue for me. It isn't.
No. Nope.
The issue is having this level of talent willing to walk away after growing up in the city with the club, built a home in Bremen, et cetera, et cetera. Like, sometimes, yeah, the money, different prospects, it helps. But in the case of Dinkshi, Freiburg isn't even offering any real serious difference in competition for Werder.
This should speak volumes.
The difference is someone at Werder convinced Dinkshi that he'd be better off there developmentally than staying at Werder, and that's it.
Yep. Even Voltomata said, like, there's an exact quote from the Bild where he was dissatisfied with the amount of fucking playing time that he had had, having to be behind both Dukes and Bore. God's green earth are we taking a player on fucking loan when you have a bunch of youth players that you should be investing in?
We put more effort into retaining Bore as a shit loan than these two kids.
Yeah,
we took.
That speaks volumes.
2 months of squeezing $400,000.
Yeah,
international, whose, you know, club is the size of my dick in the cult.
That's right. Fuck.
Right. We spent 2 months squeezing $400,000. I think is what we got.
Yep.
Dinkshi and Voldemort walked out. Not a shot was fired.
Yep.
But gather round the room, everybody, good boys and girls. It's okay, because we got $5 million, and Voltomod never scored a goal. It's all good. Like, pound sand. Fuck off.
Seriously. It's crazy to me. You know what I mean? It's provincial thinking. But then it's backed by more provincial thinking. You know what I mean? Oh, well, we're just trying to stay up this year. You know, we got to do whatever we can. These guys just want money and they just want to go play in Europe. I mean, who fucking doesn't? Are you shitting me? Yeah, obviously, but I don't think that's the actual main drive for these guys. Now, maybe I could be fucking wrong, but even then, why not try to attain that status? Why not even consider that as being a possibility? Why not try to do something about that as opposed to just accepting that, you know, we're just trying to stay up this year, you guys?
Why,
in the long run.
Why prior to the winter transfer break did Werder not have Dinkshi's agent in the office talking about an extension? When his value had gone from 1 million to 6 million in like 3 months? Why were those talks only held, I think, probably in, if I remember right, it was like March or something, when they were renegotiating Zephyr as well, because Zephyr has the same agent as Inchy, which in and of itself should be a little alarming for those of us that like Zetterer as a goalie. You know, like, why were those talks not happening then? Why was it delayed? There are so many things about this. And again, I come back to that part about man management. There is a trail of evidence that indicates that the relationship breakdown between our club and these players was substantial enough that even if we had paid them more and were playing in international competition, there's still a chance they probably would have left if they couldn't see their future with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I mean, even just the relationship between Werner and Dingshi is just being swept under the rug. Like, nobody's thinking about that at all. Like, nobody is remote because they're so dedicated to Werner as a coach. Another excuse that drives me crazy is, oh, well, we don't have a system that will play them.
Right.
Yeah. And how successful has our system been? We're just trying to keep from relegation. That's how successful our system has been. Now, you know what I mean?
Like, I would have been okay if Baumann and Fritz, or you know, whatever, Werner, would have sat there at the press conference, and maybe they did. Full transparency, I didn't read a single article of anything Werner this week. I didn't even bother. I was just going to piss me off too much. But during the press conference, near as I can tell, they basically said that Voltomata wanted more money, and he wanted the chance of playing in Europe, and he went off for those reasons, right?
Hmm.
Well, then tell me that he doesn't fit the system. Why say that?
Yeah.
Tell me he doesn't fit the system. Tell me that you weren't going to reconfigure the whole thing to build it around him, right? It just couldn't be done. Say that. Just say, just lie to me, please. Just lie to me, please.
Seriously. Well, he doesn't score goals, though, so what does it matter?
That's right. Trash player.
Trash player. I mean, that's why he's going to a club that's going to go play probably in Champions League next year.
Well, they can afford to blow money on squad depth that isn't going to propel them in all three competitions, right?
Yeah. It's not like they're going to be playing in the Bundesliga, Europe, and then probably in the DFB Pokal, where he'll get plenty of time in one, if not two, you know? Nah, who needs that though? Like, I mean, I'm sure they'll just bench him, which is something I heard somebody tell me, which I thought was ridiculous.
So I did a little bit of hunting, and I'm gonna go through a little bit of stuff here for our listeners, because this I kind of just started digging and I kept digging. Given that Fritz is in charge, I think it would seem reasonable to take a look at past performances that of him and use it as a gauge for the future. After all, both Baumann and he jointly worked to bring talent in or send it out, whether it was purchases on loan, et cetera, et cetera. Fritz was actually in charge of loan players at one point in time, and later the head of first team football. So I think it's reasonable to look at what has happened during his tenure and project some of that forward. So I'm going to start from 2019, and everybody knows why I start from 2019. And if you don't know, you'll have to catch up on the fly. But Werner, you know, has said hello and goodbye in a myriad of ways to the following talent. So get your little push pencils out for those that are keeping score at home. I did my homework. Felix Bemo, Jans Nicholas Best, Nicholas Schmidt, Mayek Norwaki, Jojo Egestein, Josh Sargent, Ilya Griev, Fabio Chirodia, Lee Buchanan, Yannick Engelhardt, Aaron Dinchy, and Nick Voltomat. A transfer revenue was earned through these players of $31.35 million. This same group of players currently would fetch just under $60 million in value. 50%.
Hey, you know what? We got $5 million, so we're good.
The players Werner have sold have doubled in value since leaving Werner. Well, Ben, you know, we had to sell some of them after we relegated, you know. Only two players we could consider young talent was sold off after we relegated. Sargent and Jojo. All the rest were sold while we were playing in the Bundesliga. Like, the most agitating part of all of this is not that we sold the player and that they developed somewhere over the next, like, 5 years or something like that. It's how fast they developed and became valuable almost immediately after leaving Werner. three examples for you. These are the worst ones, of course, because that's what I did. But there's plenty more. Besta sold for $950,000, had a market value of $1.2 million in 2022. A year later, valued at $7 million. 2 years later, now valued at $15 million. Norwalkie sold for $1.5 million, had a market value of $1.5 million in 22. A year later, has a market value of $4 million and sold to Celtic for $5 million. And of course, Aaron Dinchy, valued at $1 million at the start of this season, played in Heidenheim for one season and is now valued at $10 million with an exit clause of $5 million. I don't know if you want to say anything to any of that. I got more.
Oh, no, man. Go in. I mean, this is stuff that people need to know the fucking math behind this.
I'm loaded.
And I want this to be like, I hope this gets over to Germany, because I want these people who are like, oh, whatever, that are just like brushing this shit away, because I want to hear what the arguments are. Hey, you know what? I'm open to being wrong. I'm very much open to being wrong, but I do not think we are wrong on this shit.
Well, I will grant that Besta had sell on agreements that I think equaled about $1 million after Heidenheim promoted. So I'll even grant you that we gained approximately $2 million from Besta. Still, a year later, valued at $7 million, and 1 year after that at $15 million. So go pound it. So again, even more egregious, I found, is the number of these players who came from within our youth system, which means no transfer fee was used, or at least extremely minimal. Like in the case of Besta, we paid $250,000 for him. So since 2022, so like I said before, it's not like they went somewhere and 5 years later developed into something. Literally 2 years later, we shipped out no less than 8 academy players for a total revenue of $19.35 million. These same 8 players today, 2 years later, have a combined value of $43.8 million.
I want people to take into consideration, too, that we are a club who's been financially insecure for a better part of, we'll say, about a decade. So we've made some particularly poor purchases. We've taken players on loan that have been bad ideas. And I now add this into it. So this is, we've been hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
And then this is something that we've not only like, we've signed up to and voluntarily done to ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and this tells us three things about Werder under the leadership of Baumann and Fritz post 2019, where there was nobody else like Steiten to hold them in check. And now you know why I started 2019. Number one, Werder can't judge talent. The academy has the ability to attract it, but Werder doesn't seem to understand when a player has potential to do something more. Number two, if they can judge talent, they can't develop it. All these players have exploded in value both in the market and to their new teams within a year or two of leaving Werder. And the third one, got a little bit of a rundown. It's incredible that every single one of these academy talents are today currently providing value for their clubs at a high level, but couldn't find minutes at Werder. All of these players, except two, are playing within the highest leagues of their respective country, but could gain, you know, but couldn't gain any playing time with Werder. So these 8 academy players that I was talking about combined for a total of 3,774 minutes, or 471 minutes per player, or 5.25 games per player to evaluate them. 5.25 games per player to evaluate them. Griev and Schmidt hold 70% of those minutes, meaning the remaining 6 academy players had approximately 195 minutes each, or 2 games that were used for Werder to evaluate them. As an aside, Norwalkie played 0 minutes for Werder. Besta played 0 minutes for Werder. Engelhardt played 0 minutes for Werder. These three players today combined for $23 million in market value, all 2 years after leaving Werder. None of them could make the breakthrough with us. So, if they can judge talent and they can develop talent, the third problem is they won't play the talent. Christian, any thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, no. Well, no, I don't have any thoughts.
I told you,
I'm running with it
today.
I'm living for it, man. I'm living for it. What I don't understand too is how people are just once again so nonchalant, like, of players really excelling after they leave, and they don't see us as being the problem. You know, how were we to know that they were going to be that good? Well, it's our fucking job to do that.
You hire people for this job.
Literally, that is the name of the game. Like, how have you not been watching football for the past fucking 20 years where player development has become the most important part of the fucking game, especially for teams that don't have money, which is us, right?
It is literally the only way to survive in today's footballing economy. The only way for a team that doesn't have access to massive investment. So, I mean, coming full circle, this is what I meant when I said Voltimat and Dinchy are symptoms of a problem. The problem has been going on for a while now, and the club didn't appear to take the detour that was right in front of them this winter. It's the sort of stuff that makes the story about Hesse Grunwald basically, you know, foiling the search for a new sporting director. It's what makes those stories important. Beyond all of this, these two players have publicly been at odds with management and the coach of Werder Bremen. Again, Werder has opted to change exactly none of these things. So one can assume that what we are witnessing now is likely to be perpetuated forward. So let's talk a little bit about investor money and the direction of the club to invest in and develop youth. So a concession that I'm going to give is that any plan takes time. So let's assume for a minute that with the investor deal, both Fritz Baumann and Werner decided, yes, we are now going to officially invest in youth. We're going to play the youth. We're going to scout and develop the youth and sell for profit. We are going to change our ways and do things completely different. Even if that happened, it likely wouldn't have saved Voltimat and Dinchy leaving. Those wheels were in motion a long time before. So, if this really is the new direction of Werder, again, this is my concession, and for people to understand, it's going to take at least 2 years to see if there's a change in how Werder does business with the youth. It's going to take time to change what is to eventually, you know, before we eventually see the results. In the same way that, you know, them announcing they're going to go and invest in youth didn't change the outcomes of Voltimat and Dinchy. Bearing in mind, both Fritz and Werner remain, and the investors signed off on having absolutely no means of leverage or accountability with how the club manages the funds, not to mention they're also under censure, so they can't even talk to the press if they felt the club wasn't holding up their end of the bargain. So at the end of the day, I think we have to admit, and it doesn't please me to say it, I'm not happy to say it, but it is the reality. Wake up to reality. Reality is uncomfortable, but truth is better than lying to yourself. Werder is a tarnished brand.
Yeah.
Like, do you honestly think these players don't talk to each other? Do you honestly think that agents and advisors have, you know, a bead on this club right now? Right? Like, how is it that we could have, in weeks past, been so close to Europe, but neither Visor nor Voltimat could be convinced to sign an extension?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and talking about the Utes, the poor man management isn't isolated only to Dinchy and Voltimat. Reports have come out in the past about Besta, Bemo, and Jojo of personality conflicts, feeling underappreciated, not seeing a future for themselves at the club. Anyway, go ahead, Christian, if you've got any comments on that.
No, I think we've... I 2 points. I think the first one being, yeah, it's going to be at least 2 years and we have to kind of see how this plays out. I'll be honest. It's tough to have faith. And I think a key thing is, okay, we have to look at Dinchy and Voltimat as being a symptom of the bigger problem, as well as hopefully being a thing of the past.
Now, I know this is a big fucking ask for you, me, and a lot of our listeners. Yeah. So this is, we have to think of that as being in the past. So we now have to give our front office, well, give or take some time, 2 years time to actually start to put whatever this plan is into, the plan into work. Now, part of that supposedly, involves Ole Werner, who, once again, incredibly skeptical. I think he is the odd man out in this plan, in fact, because there's been nothing to suggest that he is even remotely capable of developing youth. Shepherd, so there's
developed under Ole Werner.
His development, anyways, I forget what my second point was. So we were talking about tarnished brand. Oh, we've been a fucking tarnished brand for a minute. And I don't think, you know, once again, because we are so provincial in our thinking at times, and because it is, you know, a massive club in a city in the north, it's hard to hear what people may think of us worldwide, because there is so much city pride, and understandably there's city pride. You know, it's an incredible city with a fucking, with the best goddamn football team in the world. However, however, you know what I mean? Not everybody sees it that way. And when you do piss people off, it's something that starts to ring, you know, but it's very easy to sort of forget or ignore it. And I do think we've got to go a long way. It's going to take a lot more than 2 years for us to fix our image, you know? And I do truly believe that Voltomata and Dinkshi, and I guarantee you Best is talking shit. I mean, a lot of these dudes are like, fuck that. I'm not going back to that fucking place. And right now, honestly, the only way they would come back is if they're 30 and the front office is turned over 16 times and we're re-signing old Werder players at high prices, oft-injured old Werder players at high prices, you know, as we have done for the past decade.
Well, and that's... There are so many examples of these transfers, folks. So many. Like I said, I went back two or three years. That was it. That's all I did. 2019 is where I started, and that's the examples that I pulled out. So again, talking about, you know, the future, we got to give it time to develop and make the changes and to see those outcomes. Yes, but if we use the past as our guide, which I do believe is a good way to live life, you can project some things into the future, and we still have Fritz and Werner involved. So, I mean, unless Baumann was literally holding this whole thing under his thumb, I think it's going to be difficult, very difficult for them to not only say that youth has become the future of Werder, but to implement it, because there's nothing in their past that indicates they have the ability to do that right now. Okay, we got to move to some questions. We only got a few questions, and then we got to get Sooner on here. And I kind of figured the show would go long today, because I was frothing at the mouth for about 3 or 4 days this week already. So here we go. So we got as far as listener question, it's more of a comment. In a conversation that I had with Matt Miller, he mentioned something that I wanted to bring up, because I think it's something that has been kind of ever implied on the show, but I don't know if we've ever said it out loud, Christian. So he says, he wrote, "The team is frustrating me so bad at the moment," which is weird, because, you know, I'm one of the more positive fans usually. "Simple things like add on the points we didn't get from the promoted teams and we'd be pushing for Europe." You know, and so... Yeah, you take a look at it. Werder shipped 10 points to the promotion teams this year, and those 10 points would give us 41 points, and we'd be just outside of Europe right now. Thoughts?
Yeah, but I mean, it's all malaise to me at this point. I mean, you and I had this conversation just before the show. Like, fuck, man, it's hard to get enthusiastic about anything. I want this season to be done already. I love coming on the show. I love, you know, the interaction that we have with each other. Obviously, the highs are always wonderful, but it just feels so... Fuck, it's like...
It's hard.
Fuck, it's walking through a swamp right now.
Oh, we lost you. Your screen went
fucking
dark.
Yeah, my screen went dark. Fucking piece of shit. It's I mean, it's a long slog, so I mean, like, I'm kind of over. I honestly sometimes feels as if I'm watching this week to week, You know, like I'm stopped thinking about points we've lost already. And I'm thinking about points we're going to lose.
All right. We got a number of would you rathers and a bet on it or against it. So we'll rip through these pretty quick. Christian, would you rather always finish 10th to 15th in the table with no real excitement and get knocked out by the third round of the Pokal, or win the Pokal every few years but get relegated every time we win it?
Wow. No, I'll take the 10 to 5th. I don't know.
These people hate you, just so you know.
Yeah, no shit. Like, I don't think people understand what relegation means. And like, if I'm in fifth division winning the DFB Pokal, it's kind of insane. I'll take the 10 to 15, I guess, even though that doesn't really sound enticing either. It's like, yeah, do you want to bang your right ball or your left ball with a hammer? You know,
well, wait till you hear the next one.
Great.
Would you rather have no gross or grob, I should say? Oh, and we've gone all.
I'm at the net. Oh, no.
There it is.
I'm at the net.
Oh. Would you rather have no grob next season, but also have no Voltimod or Dinchy, which is actually going to be our reality? Or.
So far. Okay.
Freaking hilarious. Or Voltimod and Dinchy, but grob plays at least half of every game next season. So you get to keep your talent, but grobby sticks around.
I mean, if Werner's still our coach, then it wouldn't look any different. So I guess I'll take the first one.
The reality? You'll take our reality?
Yeah, I'll take reality because that's what I'm going to have to deal with at some point in time.
All right, Christian, would you rather keep Ole and sell Marv or keep Marv and dump Ole?
Keep Marv and dump Ole. I'll tell you why. Yeah, because our new coach may actually have the balls to fucking sit Dukes. He may light a fire under Dukes, and maybe Dukes will go on a crazy scoring streak. It doesn't matter. You just wouldn't have Ole fucking football, where the kids get to sit and we get to continue to struggle to avoid relegation, and Marvin Dukes gets a full 90 minutes every fucking game, regardless of how he plays.
Got to grind to make those points, Christian. Grind.
Yeah, right. That 1.1 point per game.
1.08, I think, was the last calculation.
Oh, brilliant. Sure. Yeah, bad.
We got 1 point yesterday, which actually lowers his overall tally. His overall.
Delightful. Delightful. Oh, my God.
All right. Bet on it or against it. Visor goes to the point of rejecting a contract and becomes a free agent this summer with no reported interest in him.
Yes, until the no reported interest. I think somebody will take him.
Well, no, like he would go all the way to become a free agent. Even
yeah, sure. Absolutely. And I don't think anybody will question what's going on at the team. They'll only say, well, he's in it because he wants the money.
People will line up to debate you on
that. Oh, I'm pretty sure it's, he wants money in Europe, but he doesn't know that, blah, 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 blah. It's going to stick their head in the sand some more. Yeah, some Italian or Spanish team will take him. Sure, I can see that.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get Sooner on here. I got to find him in the chat here. He's busy chatting up a storm, and we got to play his music.
He's a very, very good friend of mine.
Sooner, maggot, Sooner.
It's a rink system.
Maggot, Sooner.
Nobody can do it like Sooner.
Nobody builds walls better than Sooner.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than
Sooner.
We'll totally accept the results if I win.
Walmart.
Fuck yeah.
If you... I was going to say, Sooner, if you land your microphone, this will be the greatest audio experience our listeners have had in probably over 2 months.
Does it sound okay?
It sounds beautiful. You sound magnificent.
Can't hear you at all, buddy.
Wonderful.
Oh, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I know. I'm not going with the microphone. I'm using my computer today, so I'm going to try this out. We're going to see how this works.
Nobody uses microphones better than Sooner. All right, buddy. What have you got for us this week?
Yes. Well, I don't know how much, you know, people have been following the team the last couple of weeks or so, but we play Leverkusen this week. So that's lots of fun. Leverkusen, let's talk about them a little bit. You know, it's really funny. Yesterday, I think so, at some point I was watching those like clips.
Am I actually going to laugh at the end of this, or is it not funny at all?
No, it's not that funny. It's not that funny. It's ironic, I guess. ESPN, like what they'll show these like goal highlights during halftime, and they showed a goal from a game that Leverkusen played against Berlin last year. And I remember the game vaguely, and I was like, yeah, like Hertha like killed or like was like who was the worst team in the Bundesliga by far last year was like kind of running circles around Leverkusen for a while. And like in a year later with mostly the same team, they haven't lost a game at all this season. It really is. I've kind of become used to it, how good they've been. But it really, like when you sit back and think of it, like it is kind of unreal, the kind of run they're on.
When Alonso took over the team, they actually slumped. And there was a lot of question as to whether he could turn the thing around.
Right.
You know, it's in what a job he's done there.
I mean, I guess I was looking it up. I don't think a German team has ever gone even like undefeated through an entire season. But I mean, like they are, I mean, what about, I think they have like 6 or 7 more games to go in Europa League.
Still got to come through Werder, baby.
Indeed. I mean, like they are getting close to like going undefeated in all three. I'm not sure that that's happened before. That would be crazy if like a team has like in a European competition, a domestic cup competition, and like your league, your domestic league to go undefeated. That would be insane. Yeah. A lot of people have been talked about for like what's been going on. It's good there. I want to talk about a couple of people I think who haven't gotten talked about as much. Granit Xhaka, I think that's how I'm pronouncing his name right. He came from Arsenal the last few years. This is insane. So apparently the Bundesliga only since the 2017-2018 season has been following the passes completed stat. At least I can't, on Football Ref, I can't go back further than that and find that stat. Xhaka this year has 2,654 completed passes. That's first place in the league. Second place was Nico Schlotterbeck has 1,892.
Holy smokes.
That's a difference of 724 passes. That's the same difference. The difference between first and second is the same difference between second and 25th.
And how many does Werder have? Insane. How many completed passes does Werder have in as an entire team?
I don't know about that. It would take me a second maybe to find that.
But, I was going to say that would be something to see if we have as many completed passes as Xhaka.
Right. Yeah. Well, probably. I mean, I should have looked to see like if he's got more completed passes than some teams do. But I can tell you that he's already got like over 100 more passes completed than any of the people who had the most completed passes over the course of an entire season. You know, we still got 6 games left. He's been a really, really good player for them. I think maybe sometimes he doesn't get quite the credit he deserves, at least not from the people who are not following that club the way we follow Werder. So he's just been insane this year, their defensive mid. And another player who's been playing pretty well for them as of late is Patrick Schick. You know, that's a guy who was playing pretty well for them a couple of years ago. I remember like one time he had like 4 goals in a game. It was insane. And then he had a lot of injury problems. And then, you know, Leverkusen was playing really well and it was hard for him to get back in the rotation. But he's, you know, and then especially with Victor Boniface, who just came back from injury last week, he'd been injured for a while. Schick was relied on quite a lot more off the bench. And he's been, especially in the Europa League, I think he scored 5 goals in their 4 games, and most of those came like after the 80th minute. He's been a huge reason for why they've continued to move on in that competition. But he's just been you know, gutting it out and finding a spot in the rotation again. So those are two guys who I think are really, I mean, yes, obviously if everyone talks about Frimpong, everyone talks about Grimaldo, everyone talks about Boniface and, you know, some of those guys. But I think that those are two guys who maybe don't get talked about a lot, who are a big reason why they're having as good of a season as they're having. I mean, what else do you want to know about Leverkusen? They score they average 2.5 goals a game, and they give up 0.7 goals a game. I mean, they lead the league in clean sheets. They only need 2.5 saves a game because their defense doesn't give up good shots. They've only conceded 23.9 XG. I mean, they're just really good. And they're as dominant as like any team that the Bundesliga has seen in a very long time. The one thing I think that's in, you know, kind of a bit of a bugaboo with them is they're starting to run out of gas, or they're kind of running on fumes. I mean, I know this sounds like a really nitpicky thing, but going back to like the first of this year, they've only had two games they've played in where they won by like more than two goals. They beat Bayern 3-0, and then they beat Dusseldorf by a lot in the Pokal this week. Most of their other, I mean, they've won a few games by two goals or more, but a lot of the games have been one goal wins or ties. And a lot of those have been decided late, like where they had to rescue a point or rescue a win. So they are, I think, starting to grind down a bit. They're getting a little bit lucky. They're leaving. The way I'd put it is they're leaving they're waiting till last minute to do their homework, and they keep on turning it in. But that's not a recipe for, always getting those results.
Right.
They love to do a 3-4-2-1. Just looking at their formation. Sorry, Ben, I didn't know if you wanted to say something there.
No, that's, I'm just thinking about everything you're saying and how it doesn't mean anything because they're playing Werder this weekend. When you're like, well, you know, they're leaving it late, you know, so maybe they're grinding down. I'm like, yeah, but they're playing Werder this week.
This feels like it's a good time for me to talk about what my lock is. You want to guess what my lock is this week?
Well, I know I'm going to be going for at least three goals against, at least, at a minimum.
Ben, you ignorant slut.
That's going to make the best of.
I feel like a lot of the times when I do these locks, I do like really take it seriously, and I'm trying to be like, I want to say something that I think is going to happen, but also is a little bit risky. But this week, I'm not going to do that really. My lock this week is Werder to win or tie. I think Werder is going to get a result in this game.
A slut I may be, but ignorant.
I mean, this is definitely, I will say, it's definitely more of a with your heart kind of a decision than with your brain. I just wanted to look up here and see. I'm full of shit. We'll see. But listen to me back this up.
Or a beeper when you're going to back up that load of shit. Wow.
So I didn't hate the effort that we played with on Friday. I feel like this is the kind of game that Werder Bremen usually like surprises people.
Name the back line sooner. Name our starting back line.
I think it's going to be Veljkovic, Gross, and Malatini. So let's do it. I think we're also going to like just we're going to do like the Leipzig special. I think we're going to like play really deep. If Ole Werner tries to come out and play like, you know, trading punches with Leverkusen, that is going to be one of the dumbest things I think I've ever seen from him. And there's been a long list of those. Leverkusen, they've been playing twice a week for a long time. I mean, a lot of their players were off playing international. They've been playing a lot of football. It's not sustainable the way that they've been getting results. Also, you want to know, I mean, everyone keeps on talking about how similar this season is to the 2020-2021 season where we went down, and we only took 1 point from our final 10 matches. Right. You know who that 1 point came against? That 1 point, that one.
Oh, you're not this dumb. You're not this dumb.
It was a 0-0 tie with Leverkusen. You know, going back, I didn't talk about this. Going back to like where is it? The last time that Leverkusen beat us by more than a goal in their stadium was 2003. Werder has gotten, I think, 9 draws and 5 wins since then in Leverkusen. We love playing in Leverkusen. We love playing in that stadium. And this is definitely more, like I said, more with my heart than with my head. But fuck it. I'm Werder Bremen plus 425 to get at least a point.
No shit, is plus 425.
And that's my lock.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big lock, all right. Of the day.
Sooner financial advice is given solely on the backs of Sooner's brain and what his intellect says. It is no reflection on Not Easy Being Green or any of its affiliates.
Hey, man, all right, it's gonna happen. I mean, it's gonna be one of the greatest days, and everyone's gonna want to throw Ole Werner a parade. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be great.
We can only hope. All right, let's talk about the contest. Only one guy made points. The one optimist in the group.
And I am like an idiot again. I don't have it up. Let me pull it up here. Yes, I have got it. Oh God, damn it. I've got it now. Okay, yes.
Am I talking with Christian here? What's going on here?
Oh, I know, right? I was too fired up to open up the KickTip app on my phone. Matt Miller got all 4 points. I think he's the only one who picked up any points by picking a 1-1 draw against Freiburg. Frankfurt. What the fuck am I doing? So here's how the table looks. As we're getting close to the end of the season here, Cacophony still atop. That's Paul still atop the table with 19. Then we got Dustin with 17. In third place, Christian has got 16 points. Dirt 13 has got 15. It's Dirt 13, Geppi, LeChef, and Matt Miller all have 15. I'm alone in eighth place with 14. Then it's Ian McHugh and Ben, the host, who are tied in ninth place with 12 points. Condre and El Comandante both have 11. Spivey has 10 points. It's a three-way tie for 14th place with Lohena, Mark D, and Strued. It's another three-way. We love three-ways. Three-way tie for 17th with Big Ben, Hair Dr. Tim, and Juan. So that's a four-way. Excuse me. I didn't mean to leave Arun out. Then we got Jay, who's got 5 points. Muhammad's got 3. Brian's got 2. And say it with me, Boring Anna's got 0. And I don't think she's made a prediction. I think maybe the first match she made a prediction and then just gave up.
Well, I was noticing that I'm apparently in the Winnipeg Bus Depot of Liv, but I'm only there on the basis of alphabetization, which I think is wrong. Because Ian is spelled I-A-I-N and I-N-E-B-G for It's Not Easy Being Green. I'm placed below Ian, and I think that he should have to join me if we end up tied at the end.
If it comes that close, we'll take it to the courts and we'll let the courts.
I don't trust you. You're the one that's betting on Werder to get a point. Yeah, Ian and his needless vowels. All right. No, that's awesome. Thanks, Sooner. Appreciate you doing that for us. And remember, folks, make sure you make those picks. Getting down to the nitty gritty here at the end of the season, that table is tight. So, don't pick. That is also a strategy employed by some.
I think that would probably be Ole Werner's strategy if he was in our kick tip league. Hey,
don't worry, things will be fine. Stay the way, you know. Leave it up to the players to actually do it, you know.
And everybody needs to remember at the end of the season, it doesn't matter how many points you have because Sooner's going to run it through his Dominion voting or counting machines, and it's all going to get completely foobarred at that point in time, anyway.
And everyone loves it, so don't act like you don't.
All right, I think that is that it for you, from you, Sooner?
I think that's been enough.
Okay, it certainly has been something. All right. Well, I'm going to do the Werder history bit now. So thanks to both of you guys for joining us. Appreciate that very much.
Absolute and, pleasure.
As catch pleasure you next as week. Always.
All right. So the next chapter that we have in the Werder book, Lebenslang Grün und Weiß, the 1965-66 season, which was known as the Danish Dynamite. So having won the league in 1964-65, those of you that recall from last week, Werder arrived in the third season of the Bundesliga as returning champions. There was a sense among most that Werder could have what it takes to defend their title. Having not been strong favorites last season, with only a few additions to the team, a repeat title was probably a little bit more than what should have been expected. Beyond that, the largest impact of the 1965-66 season wouldn't be among the players, but rather the coach. The prior season's winning coach, Multhap, after a disagreement with Werder, decided to take his talents to Dortmund, where he would then win the league with that team. The issues between Multhap and Werder began when both he, Multhap, and the chairman demanded a lot of exclusive power to make personnel decisions for the team. The chairman also demanded a wage. So Werder was not prepared to give away this much power to a couple of individuals, let alone the wage demands. Hunt, the chairman, soon resigned his position, and Multhap informed the club that he would be leaving. The Werder board chose as his replacement a prior Schalke defender named Günter Brücker. I think it's Brücker, actually. Comparatively to Multhap, Brücker was not charismatic or inspirational. Many of the players understood quickly that Brücker lacked the tactical mind they previously had been coached with. Brücker's pregame and halftime chats were all basically the same. As laid out by Pico Schultz, a typical pregame chat went something like this. We have six national team players. Our opponents only have one. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go get them, guys. I love this. So after winning four of the first five games, Werder would then go into a slump. All through the season, there would be spurts and stops, creating a lot of inconsistency. Many of the last season's players were underperforming, with the exception of captain Pico Schultz. And although Werder had an excellent defense, there was little happening offensively, which was not very enjoyable for the fans to watch. The season was not only marred by inconsistent performances. Because Werder were last season's champions, they were allowed to represent Germany in the European Cup, which ended in a disastrous tie between Werder and Partizan Belgrade. Included in this week's chapter, so be sure to check out, I post all of this stuff on the Discord, again, for those that are interested, from the book, but included is a great story on these two games and why Werder would be raked over the coals by the media and accused of ruining football and being an embarrassment to Germany. It also involves Pico Schultz punching the teeth out of a reporter, but it's honestly a really great read, to be sure. And as I mentioned before, if you don't speak German or read German, you can just use the Google Translate app and just take the picture and translate it. It's really cool. So Werder would then rally their season at the very end to finish fourth. A respectable finish given the last year's championship, but overall a little underwhelming for a team that had hoped for much more. Another great article that you're going to find in this batch is the actual coaching contract that was offered to Brücker, including his wage, bonuses, and other stipulations, which was so cool to see, a contract that was drafted back then. You know, what that looked like or what a coach was expected to do. Anyway, so that's our chapter this week. I will post those in the Discord for you to check out. 1965-66 Danish Dynamite. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And as a bit of a, I guess, house cleaning or housekeeping thing, not too long ago in the Discord, it was... I think Juan had mentioned that there was something that Stuttgart did, which was like a game bingo card or something like that. And he had said, we should do something like this. I just want to take a moment and say, just flat out, Christian, myself, Sooner, King Ian, we don't own anything. We don't, right? If you guys want to see something, go for it. If you guys want to do a something that makes the game day experience more enjoyable, go for it. If you guys want to, like, I mean, Sooner set up a blog, did the Instagram thing, just cause, right? If you want to contribute to what we're doing here, you do not have to run the idea. Like, you know, if you want to do it, do it. If you want to throw the idea out and somebody else wants to do it, just pick it up and go with it. I know I'm not going to do anything more than this podcast. I'm pretty sure Christian isn't either. But, you know, just if you want to jump in, just jump in, right? That's how this started, you know. And so, if you want to contribute, just jump in and get her done. We would welcome it. And if you want to start a competing podcast, that would be great. Then I can listen to you instead. But yeah, by all means, jump in. We love to have more people contributing to what we're doing here. It's an open system. It's a community. Contribute where you feel. And with that, we'll sign off for the night. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. Thanks for being a part of the community. Always a pleasure to chat with you on the weekend. We will talk with you again next weekend after apparently we are going to bust Leverkusen's hopes of setting a new record. Have a great night, everybody. Love you all. Good night.